winter weather. It impacts your business. Roads are closed, salt everywhere, canceled flights, sick days. Let's be prepared. Let's use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, brought to you by Citrix. Meet and collaborate online no matter what the weather is. Just sign up for GoToMeeting on your computer or your mobile device. Launch your first meeting in seconds. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, projects, and do it in real time. Turn on your webcam and see each other face-to-face and try it out for free. 30 days, a 30-day free trial. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. Hey, Chickpeas, Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Corolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Ex-Wives of Rock, Bobby Brown, plus Allison Rosen on news, and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, a man who's beaten off to the cherry pie video, and I mean a video of some actual cherry pie, Adam Corolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandy, get it on, baby. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for clicking through Amazon, all that good stuff. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Corolla.
Good day, Bill Bryan. Adam, stop being such an asshole and start listening to people.
Bill S. Preston Esquire, unclear if he's an actual lawyer, on Twitter, wanted that hashtag top drop.
And I must say, just for clarification, cherry pie, pretty far down on my list of pies. But good cherry pie, sour cherry pie. You know, cherry pie is one of those things. It's sort of like a, lobster bisque sub or something like that. If it's $2.99, don't get it.
Best to avoid.
Best to avoid. There's
like
certain
the opposite of a blowjob where there's no bad blowjob, I'm guessing.
Right, right. There isn't because of the effort involved and the thought that counts.
But there can be bad lobster bisque. Bad sushi, too.
Right. If somebody says it's sushi and it's $1.89 or it's surf and turf and it's $4, it's not going to be good. The cherry pie, you see, the pumpkin pie at $6-$7 is fine. The cherry pie, too gooey, too syrupy for me. But if you want to step it up, if you want to go like boutique cherry pie where it's not that bright, bright red, that luminescent red, you know, the one that just sort of reflects the light,
red.
The candy red.
Red like your shirt.
Yes. Ah, Bung Lu Su's new shirt I'm wearing will be available very soon at our store. We're working on this. We had the great Joe Coy just give us a box of 50. He made some beautiful Bung Lu Su shirts up. The rooster.
Yeah.
And
That's his astrological sign. The rooster.
Can I tell you something about pie?
Yes. Because
now it's in my head.
Yes.
For Christmas.
Yes.
For Christmas, we had a pumpkin pie that was so bad that none of us could finish our slices of it. And it wasn't bad in the way that your pumpkin pie was bad, where it had like a ribbon of plum in it.
Ugh.
It was whatever spices they used. I don't know if they dumped the whole bottle of something or if
they
included soap or if they put curry in it. It wasn't sweet.
Where'd you get it?
Gelson's.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
For those out of town, that's a higher end market.
It makes me wonder if they were trying too hard with their fancy, obscure spices. It's like it had pumpkin pie mix in it, but four times the amount it was supposed to, and they left out the sugar.
There should be a non-falutin store where you just...
Basics.
It's not gluten-free, it's falutin-free. And it's all the best everything can be. Cranberries and all... You think all Thanksgiving and all pies and all that stuff with minus all the bullshit. The best iced tea you can get, the best everything you can get, minus all the bullshit. The best fucking oatmeal cookies you can make, minus the bits of cranberry and the little zest of orange and all the other bullshit that people are just jacking off on everything. Like, everyone goes, I got to put my own touch and my flavor on everything. No, you fucking don't. Shut the fuck up and make it the best way you know how. What happened to, how about this? Oh, boy. I've just stumbled onto something.
Sorry.
Okay, hold on. First off, the store, the shirts will be available soon. I forgot you can go to our store, but you can get some Mangria shirts and Adam Carolla hats and stuff like that there if you like. I have said that this country was much better when we were eating casseroles and stew. Stew and casseroles. We're just a stronger, heartier, better country. There was a time, I would say the peak of casserole and stew, the consumption was also the peak of people leaving notes on cars they backed into. And holding doors for open for elderly people and things like that. And
those two points intersected on the x-axis.
That's right.
On the graph.
Right, right. It was September 59, I believe it was. But now everybody's just putting their own fucking touch. Everyone's got to put their own flavor. Everyone's going to say, I'm putting my own personal flavor on everything. Remember when it used to be grandma's recipe? Remember these recipes were passed on? Ooh, secret, you know? It's grandma's old recipe from the old country. She makes the best fill in the blank. This is her recipe.
People
I finally
actually
got
had
it.
Recipe boxes with cards in them.
Right. But they didn't have a bunch of newfangled bullshit from San Francisco wedged up everything's ass and grandma fucking rolling over in her goddamn grave with your desecration of what used to be great. And it's not like we don't have variety. It's not like we... We don't have pizza and 1,000 different toppings. It's not like we, well, 70 toppings. It's not like we don't have 100 varieties of cookies. Just make the fucking best version. Yeah. So I'm guessing because Gelson's is the not falutin free.
No, it's packed with falutin.
It's packed with falutins.
It's dripping with falutin.
It's lousy with falutins. It's falutin laden. It's laden with falutin.
It's chock full of falutin.
If it was a falutin carbuncle, it would blow. It's Mount St. Falutin.
It's got a creamy falutin center, and it's coated with falutin.
That's right.
You guys ever go to a restaurant where they say, do you have any food allergies, sir, we should know about? Any dietary restrictions? Like, yes, I have a severe falutin allergy. Don't bring me anything.
Yes.
I'll be drinking falutin.
Could you not? I swear to God, I know I told you guys, but it was fucking hazelnut puree soup was what I had last time I went out for a nice meal. It was, you know, it's dairy-free.
It's just
gluten-free. It's nothing. It's fucking water that tastes like a fucking squirrel shit in it. And by the way, I'm sorry to sound like a fucking broken douche, but it is the best soup you can do with hazelnuts. Like, it's the best the professor and the Gilligan could do on the island with, you know, it'd always be like coconut cream pie and coconut flambe and coconut encrusted crab and it was always coconut everything. That's the best you do. But we're in the middle of La Cañada. We can get beef and barley and carrots. Things that are hearty, things that people enjoy. Is there anything that's just fucking better than clam chowder or corn chowder? It's just, do we need something else?
Not better for your heart, but nothing better.
Just fucking
tasting.
Better tasting if you're going out. And again, I do submit that California is the only state where they tell you what's not in the soup. Other places tell you what it's chock full of. They go, it's gluten free. It's free range. It doesn't have any animal products in it. It has no dairy. And it's like, it's all this kind of, well, considering it has nothing in it, it's not that bad. But that's not what I look for in a dining experience. Hey, we're going to go to this expensive place that serves you hot bowls of really nothing. But considering they had nothing in the bowl, it really wasn't that bad.
It could have been worse. Yeah.
It could have been much worse. It could have fucking boiled a pine cone. Like, yeah, it's good for nothing. But give me some fucking navy bean or beef barley. Oh, we got to start the non-falutin, the falutin-free store.
Falutin-free zone.
So I'm guessing that your pumpkin pie probably had some extra something in it.
Maybe they stuck a bay leaf in there. I don't know. It was something that was bitter and awful, and I think they've left out the sugar.
All right. Well, the point is, do the best version of the oatmeal cookie, the pumpkin pie, the aforementioned cherry pie, whatever it is, ham, whatever you got, do the best version you can and keep fucking walking, bitch. All right.
Agreed. And by the way, speaking of cherry pie, I know Bobby Brown's here. I know everyone's probably expecting the song, you know, the thing we did. Relax. I'll keep it to a minimum. I know what everyone's expecting. So Don't get your panties in a bunch.
That's right. That's right. That's
judicious.
That's that.
Well, it goes a long way. Like a bay leaf, like the aforementioned bay leaf. You don't want to chew into one, but it's nice to have one in your stew.
I remember my poor friend Chris. People once in a blue moon would get punished and have to eat at my house. Like the neighborhood kids learn pretty quick. We're not sleeping over in Corolla's shitbowl. We'll go to our house with the carpeting and the central air and mom making pork chops and shit like that. But every once, I never felt more sorry. Like, you know, I know the black folk in this country have been through a lot. The two black kids who had to stay, I think they're from Indiana or something. We played a bowl game, a Pop Warner bowl game. I've done this before where I went and stayed, a couple guys from my team went and stayed with a family in Utah. And then you play the team like a couple days later. So you go, you take a bus to Utah, you meet a nice family, you stay in a nice house, you go sledding and do all sorts of shit you never do if you're from North Hollywood. And then you play the bowl game.
Snow reference?
Things you don't do in North Hollywood.
Oh.
Got that.
I said I'd be judicious.
So these poor two kids, if we had a camera, I'd have a picture of it, but no one had a camera back then. I think they were invented. These two poor little black kids, when I was about 10 or 11, we played a team from, like, Indiana. And they fucking drew the short straw. They didn't stay with Duke Gallagher up on the hill in the station wagon with the wood siding and the big Labrador and all that. They got fucking depressed Mama Corolla in the shit box in North Hollywood. Probably added some perspective to whatever they were going back to in Indiana, because they sort of, you know, had that wrong side of the tracks kind of vibe to them, you know, carrying their clothes in a pillowcase kind of thing.
Is there any chance they thought the team was fucking with them? Like when the team paced the opponent's locker room pink, like, these guys don't respect us.
I don't. Maybe they thought we're trying to wear them down emotionally. But, you know, they're so depressed, like, you know, and suicidal by the time the game started. They just wanted to curl up in a fetal position and yell freak out.
You'll hear about old-timey coaches turning off the hot water, you know, the visiting
That's
locker
right.
room.
That's right.
To haze them a little bit.
Right. So these two poor guys got stuck at my mom's piece of shit house and had to stay with me for 2 days with, you know, nothing to do and nothing good to eat or anything. But one time my poor buddy Chris ate over, and my mom made all she would make is whole wheat pasta. Whole wheat pasta is—it's just the worst of all worlds.
I think it's actually come a long way since then.
Everything in the health food department has come a, you know, country mile since 1974-77, you know, the early infancy. It's basically the same technology about where batteries were at, about the distance that batteries have traveled in the last 30 years is about where health food has traveled. It all started off as just the shittiest cardboardy.
Really awful back then.
Yeah, my mom would make whole wheat pasta, which just all stuck together and turned into just a big ball of sort of gooey brown mess. And by the way, is pasta that harmful to an 11-year-old? What do you think I'm going to start clutching my heart and yell, "Old lady, you're trying to poison me"? Don't whole cultures, like, live off noodles and pasta and stuff like that, and they seem to be just fine?
It's interesting that your mom was anti-white. I guess there were people who were, like, the fringe was anti-white flour back then.
She didn't like it because it had the word white in it. I'm convinced. She didn't like white bread or white flour, anything that had the word white in it. But meanwhile, the one big thing she missed that was actually hurting us was the sun. And I say this all the time, ironically. It's a lot of myths about, you know, sleeping with a pillow is going to screw up your spine, and putting the fluoride in the water, and it's going to screw up your brain, and you can't sit too close to the TV, and don't stand next to the microwave oven. Not at our house. Of course, we didn't have a microwave oven, but if you go to the 7-Eleven, don't stand too close to the microwave oven. It's going to scramble your brain. The one thing they, meaning my mom and all her stoner ilk, never said a fucking word about was the sun. The reason they never
giant
said
ball of radiation.
Right. The thing that, now, arguably, if you asked a doctor, would you rather a young person, now let's say age 45 or 50, would you have rather had them sit too close to a TV set or eat pasta once a week or stand or have a microwave in their home that they used a couple times a week, or spend hours and hours and hours a day in the sun in the San Fernando Valley with the ozone all burnt off and no UV protection whatsoever. What would you rather? Of course, they would say, watch, by the way, it's a fucking black and white Zenith. How much? If you fucking dropped it on your head, it wouldn't have hurt you. It was so fucking small. But the point is, it was the sun.
Of course.
But to my mom and, you know, Happy and Zorback and Axis and all the rest of the group, the sun, the man didn't build the sun. That was the giver of life, man. That's something the Indians would worship. I mean, it was good. It was natural. Like, so you had to ascribe these sort of evil intentions to things. So it wasn't just pasta. It wasn't just white bread was empty calories. It was evil calories. Whereas the sun, you see the movie Hair? Come on now.
Of course. So let me get this straight. It was Happy, Zorback, Axis, and Christine?
That's
your mom, right?
Could have been Kristen. I'm not...
These are horrible stripper names.
I think there was a sunshine in there too, ironically. People were called sunshine or moonshine and shit like that. But
your mom just went by Chris, is that?
It was kind of like you two. It was The Edge, it was Bono, and Larry. my mom, I know it's a fucked out metaphor, but she was known as the Larry Mullins of
she was the rhythm
North
section.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Of the group.
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. But look, she probably had a stupid fake name, but that, you know, she probably kept it close to the paisley vest, you know, in front of me, you know, but they'll. But it is very interesting that in all the hippie talk and all the stuff about basically the man sort of poisoning the water and the man poisoning the skies and the man poisoning the air and the white flower and all the cereal and all the a lot of talk about preservatives. There's tons of preservative talk, tons
pesticide.
Of red dye number whatever talk, the pesticides getting into the food. You can't eat that apple. It's filled with pesticides. You know, it was a lot of preservatives because preservatives were new and considered evil, and a lot of coloring, a lot of what red dye number 17 or whatever it was like a big deal. All the talk and all the hoopla and all the just hand wringing and panty bunching. Never mention about the sun. And me and my sister spent all day, every day, just running around basically in our swimsuits on the front lawn with the sprinklers going off.
There was no room for nuance with your mom. Everything had to be either 100% good or 100% evil.
Well, that's kind of how everybody works. Or not everybody works, but people that pick up a cause. The religious right has that, and then this sort of super secular left has that as well. They don't have there's not that gray area thing.
Yeah.
And life exists somewhere in that middle area. They just don't want to acknowledge it. And she wasn't a fanatic. I mean, she wasn't screaming at us, you know, slapping a cupcake out of our hand if I was able to steal one from the neighbor's house or something. But in her circle with the propaganda, with the talk about what white sugar does and what Coca-Cola does and what McDonald's does and what white flour and white everything does, the sun never, ever came up. As a matter of fact, people would sun themselves having conversations about how evil the flour was. The whole sunning thing and the whole SPF thing, yeah, it didn't really even come out until really recently, if you sort of think about it, just putting on the sunblock and stuff just didn't exist.
Yeah, now you got a sunburn and got a good layer, got a good base.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like, yeah, got a good tan.
You put Crisco on. I mean, not Crisco.
You'd work on your tan.
Oil.
Yeah. All right. You guys should work on your DraftKings, baby. Fantasy sports heating up. Well, football's wrapping up, but we got basketball. We got hockey. We got plenty of things. Plenty of sports to float your DraftKings boat, baby. DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy sports site. You can, James Tran from California.
Jimmy
T. Got to start sucking up to Jimmy.
Yeah, you better.
Hey, buddy.
He's rolling the dough.
California boy. Hey, up top. Hey. Where from? Oh. Yeah, Turlock.
Well,
yeah.
Eureka.
I got a friend over there. Yeah, that's good people. Salt of the earth. Yeah. Hey, say, what happened to that $1 million you got from DraftKings?
Did you say Turlock?
Yeah.
Does Turlock, that
exist? That's a city.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a friend who's a teacher of the year there.
So all right.
No, well. saw his picture. I mean, over his parking space over there at Turlock High. The idea that you get something of the year or something of the whatever and you get a place to park your car doesn't seem like a Rolex or anything, does it? Like,
no.
I feel like you should just get a place to park your car anyway, shouldn't you? Well, this place is 18 feet closer to the old place.
And everyone else can see it, so you know it's yours.
Yeah. Ah, baby. DraftKings one-day fantasy sports means every day you got a shot to score big. That's right. They're giving away $200 million this year. DraftKings, baby.
DraftKings is letting our listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
All right, let's see. Buffalo, University of Buffalo, Saturday, February 1st, 8 p.m., we're doing a live podcast. And me, Detroit, doing some stand-up, Motor City Casino. That is Thursday, January 30th. Bunch of Mangria events coming up, Seattle and Michigan, and that's a big state. Illinois, another big state. New York, Vegas. You go to Corolla Drinks and find out where I'm going to be because I'm coming to a town near you. And then we're coming to a town near you, and we're going to do some fun live podcasting. All right. Just a thought.
Yes. We're coming to your town. We'll help you party down.
That's right. We're an American pod. These are good lyrics.
Write that down, someone.
I was skipping my rope tonight, and I was watching TV with the sound down. Sometimes when I skip my rope, I just turn the sound down. I put my earbuds in. I listen to a little Graham Parker, and I always watch the TV. Find you learn more from watching things with the sound down sometimes. You can kind of study it. And I always watch everyone else fast forwards through all the commercials. That's the meat of life for me. I like that. I like to see where we're at as a society by looking at the commercials. And I looked at one and I've seen them a kajillion times, but it finally dawned on me. All the rental space commercials, and there's lots of them. And I used to use, when I had an apartment back in the day, I had a rental, a storage units. People are exceedingly happy. I mean, it's good looking couples, and it's, hey, it's ski season. It's time to get the skis and the bindings and the boots.
Yeah, move the priceless art so we can get to our skis.
Yes, I saw one today, and this is where it really went over the top. It was the mom holding up the wedding dress for the daughter. Here you go. The daughter was fucking over the moon about it. By the way, she'd be pissed as shit. But it was a bunch of super fucking happy people in a storage commercial, and I just thought, nothing could be further from the truth. There should be a class action lawsuit. First off, at least in California or in Los Angeles, they're all located underneath freeway overpasses. The sun is not shining. The guys who work there are fucking miserable, and the people that work there are more miserable. The people that go there are more miserable than people that work there.
They don't represent a good time in anyone's life.
No, it's a bad
sign. You're not on top of the world.
When you do not own a garage, that is bad times. We can take a look at this. See if it's the one that has the. Yeah, it's the pregnant. It's the pregnant family. It's
all
the family
the years.
That's growing. Yeah. It's
stop having kids.
People are just, it couldn't be whiter or happier, but that's not the one I want to see. I want to see the one, oh, it's coming. I'm looking for the one with the bride. I'm looking for the ski season. I'm looking for the family that there's the like young, good looking couple like, well, the snow's melting. It's kayaking season. Come on. And they're looking to fucking party.
There has to be a happy person out there somewhere who's got a storage unit.
Yeah, but like,
I've not
like
met
crazy,
them.
Dumb, insane, happy.
Okay.
They shouldn't be
like two dumb to know
I
better.
I think it's impossible. And the reason I think it's impossible is because it means you don't have a house. This is.
You can't be happy?
This is a guy running around. This is not the one I'm talking about, but this guy. There's a wedding. It's a guy is driving his Ski-Doo into the thing. Someone's getting a bridal dress, and someone's going skiing, and someone's going, outdoors, kayaking, whatever. But it's the bridal dress one. But
my mom showed me her wedding dress, by the way.
She did.
Just to see if I wanted to, at the very least, like, take part of it and make something out of it. Well, first of all, the dress has been sitting in a box for 40 years.
Right.
So there's no way that you can make it retain the shape of a dress again or the color of one. And, to your point, hugely out of style.
Right. And with the Rorschach test, the semen on there. I mean, come on, Mama. Oh, there it is.
She looks really happy to be getting all those dresses.
Oh, the daughter's over the moon. She gets to wear Mama's super outdated dress. It smells weird, mothbally.
So, you know, my wife, Christy, works for marketing for a car company. And mm-hmm. we see car commercials on TV for other companies where there's a truck driving up an impossible, you know, angle or something. And I'm like, what the hell? Well, who does that? What truck goes up a spiral thing into the sky carrying us? The law is you have to actually be able to do that to show it in a commercial. Otherwise, you have to have a disclaimer that says fantasy does not actually.
That's why I'm suing.
That's what I'm saying. Why doesn't someone hold these people to the same standard? Does not actually happen in reality.
I rented a storage unit for a while. It's always kind of more expensive than you think. It's a smaller, and it's basically saying I don't have a 9-foot by 9-foot space to put a bunch of shit I'm never really going to use, but I can't throw away. And it usually means you're living it means your space is smaller than you'd like because you have this junk, you'd like to keep this junk, and then you're going to have to pay extra to put it somewhere. It always smells weird. It's always dark and you're never happy. And it's never a bunch of fun shit. It's just a bunch of shit you can't throw away, but you have no use for in your cramped apartment.
And it also always seems unsafe to me. I don't know that it actually is.
Well, every third one like has a body and a 55-gallon drum filled with formaldehyde that's been dismembered or something. Yeah,
exactly.
Not
that's
lie.
What you're, that's
says
what
on
you're
the side.
Talking about. Yes, that's right. For sure, vegetable oil. No hooker parts.
Not corrosive substance.
That's
Keep
right.
Keep looking, cops.
All right. We'll do a little. What can Adam complain about? Do we have that?
Yeah, we do.
All right.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man can complain about it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right, I'm going to start at the top and work my way right down to the bottom. Line one, Dylan, 27, Whittier.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
I got one. I got to warn you, it's not a layup.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for it?
Yep.
In-N-Out Burger.
I love me some In-N-Out Burger. It's a fine example of exactly what we spoke of at the top of the show, which is don't make a new burger, make the best burger. Just get good beef, good ingredients, make it up fresh, serve it up hot. People will be there. And you don't need to do anything. And this is my complaint about In-N-Out Burger. If you try to hit an In-N-Out Burger anywhere near lunchtime on a weekday or weekend, you see that fucking trail of tears worth of cars just going dead. And here's how you know, and I don't like it because this is how I know I'm cursed. I was born under a dark star. They give you a choice. Should I get in the right side? Should I get in the left side? Then you start sizing it up. Lone dude, pickup truck, could be fast, could just be double-double and fries. On the other hand, maybe going on lunch run for the whole crew. Because you do that move where you get behind the single dude and you're like feeling good and about the fifth bag that goes over that
he's
side,
a PA,
you're like, you
God
fucking son of a bitch, he's buying it for the whole campus. You know that move where it's like, oh, fuck. Oh,
he's a pledge. God damn it.
Duffel bags of fries and raw patties and stuff. A guy with a skip loader putting burgers in the back of the truck. You're like, fuck.
Go with the airplane markers, going like, come on, here we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, right. So you try to, using that scissor lift thing they used to load up the airplanes, you know? And so you do that move where you're like, you're trying, and don't tell me, I say all the time, look, we profile every day, all day. You got a choice. They do that move where you can get in the right lane or the left lane. So first move, count the cars. How many cars we got here? Second move is that car up there, has that been there for a while? This move, I don't know why this move breaks my back, but it just drives me insane. And you guys tell me if you have this one too. You're driving, you're going to slide in, whether it's in and out or any drive through around, and you're coming, and maybe there's not a lot of traffic, but there's one car coming down the street, and you're like, all right, I'll let this guy pass me, and then I'll turn in, and that motherfucker turns in first. You're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Who dispatched you? Somebody knew. Right? They saw. They knew. I must have talked about it. I must have got drunk and talked about going in and out the night before. They
sloppy.
Fucking dispatched you to slide in front. There's one car on the horizon. What are there's 500 stores on this boulevard. You have to fucking slide in. Psychologically, it's a huge fucking buzzkill when that one guy slides in right in front of you. So you get that. Then he'll slide in and even it up. 5 and 5. Now you're trying to size up the drivers. Heavy set woman
now
of
it's
color.
A man's game, yeah.
Not getting behind her. She's eating for three. Asian dude over here.
That's right.
He's going light.
He's wispy.
That guy. Ooh, this guy's got one of those, you know, 26-2 marathoner stickers
That's
on his
right.
bumper. Like, he ain't going too much.
But he looks like he's paying in coins.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to figure out what people's method of payment will be.
It's a huge time suck.
Whenever I go to Home Depot, I get behind the poor Mexican-looking dude because I know he's paying cash for his plumbing fittings, and he's not pulling. You know, he's not trying to get a Sky Miles from Pan Am. Some other defunct, whatever. I just know I can tell the guys whose credit cards ain't coming out. Versus, that's right, Lucky Lindy here. So I slide in. So now there's that move where you have to go, all right, right side, left side. And then I always pick the wrong lane and I get behind and then there's something and it's that first fucking car. For some reason, the first one. And so, oftentimes two cars or three cars will pass you and you're like, what is that first fucking car still doing here? It was there when I pulled in and so was the other car. What are they doing? What are they ordering? And that's when you see the multiple bags being handed off. So, You know what the equivalent to getting off the freeway when it's bumper to bumper and getting out and driving around on side streets to your destination, which actually takes you longer than staying on the freeway, but it's more satisfying because you're not just sitting there in traffic. That is the equivalent of you getting out of your park your car and you go, I'm going in and out, and you walk in and there's seven people in line. It ends up taking you 7.2 minutes longer, but it's a lot more satisfying. You feel like
you're not in traffic.
You're doing something. So the burger's great, the line is bad. And all anybody needs to know in life is just fucking make a good product. You don't have to go, what's the secret ingredient? Are you guys right place, right time, or time? Nothing. Make a good product. Charge a fair price. There will always be a line. I see In-N-Out commercials, and I'm like, I don't even get it. Why even bother?
Reminding people you're still here?
You're just, there's always a line, no matter what, because it's the best, you know, $1.69 you can spend for a regular cheeseburger.
You want a tip on how to choose the best line? I'll give you a quick tip.
Yeah.
Always go for the line that has the most expensive cars in it, the greatest number of expensive cars,
because
that's either a businessman in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
Possible retiree eating alone, or just them and their husband or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
The less nice cars, that's a PA on a run, that's guy from the job site, that's a pledge, you know what I mean, picking up for the frat.
Mm-hmm. I like
go
it.
Go for the nicer cars.
All right. Ryan.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
32, Lake Elsinore.
Yeah. You cannot complain about beating the patent trolls.
You know what I can complain? You know why? Hold on a second. Yes, I can complain about that because I've realized a fair portion of my life is burning a ton of calories, doing a ton of stuff, spending a bunch of money to, as the great refrigerator Perry once said to me when we're fishing, you done worked your way back up to a zero after I caught a fish. He was serious.
Wise words.
Right. I can beg for money, make a couple of trips back and forth to Texas, have a couple conference calls, be included on a string of emails, and basically suck up, 9 months of my life, a year of my life. Not all day, every day, just one thing. Hey, the guys need you on the phone. I'm busy as fucking shit, but there's a lot of, to do what? Work my way up to zero? To get back to zero? spend thousands of dollars, make tons of phone calls, emails, times chewed up. I mean, it's, and if you really just think about it, isn't it just time? I mean, I'm finishing a book. I'm working on this Newman driving racing documentary, or finishing up this contractor show. We're doing podcasts. Mm. We're coming up on, oh yeah, and then the kids. You want to spend time with them. And there's all these.
You have a long list is the point.
Yes. The independent, we're going to do Road Hard. It's all just time. It's like, all right, you got a window. Your window's got another 20, 25 years to do this shit. Who wants to say this amount of it was spent circling the block of life looking for a parking space? And then how good a mood are you supposed to be in when you finally find the parking space after circling the block a baker's dozen times? You know what I'm saying? So the patent troll thing would be awesome, but it's one of those things. It's like beating a ticket. You lose, you owe the city of Burbank $368. You win, you just gave away 2 days of your life.
To win.
To win nothing.
No.
You're winning is not giving money to people that are trying to steal money from you. There's a lot of that. Like, I feel maybe more of that. It's a sort of, some of it is taxes and government and like triplicate and just, it's just like, it's just a weird fucked up thing. Like, I don't even know where it's at, but somebody said the other day, yeah, the appraiser guy's got to come over to your house. He's got to appraise your house. And then there's that, well, who's going to be there? Someone's got to let him in. Who's going to, I'm working. Can you be there? Rob, can you go over there and let the appraiser guy in and blah, blah, blah. And okay, appraiser guy comes in, appraises the house. Then 3 days later, I talked to my guy, Rob. I got to go to the house, let the appraiser guy in. I said, the appraiser guy, we let him in on Monday. No, two appraisals. I got to get two. I said,
Why?
They just had a fucking appraiser. Yeah, well, you know, the banks these days, you know. This is the fucking banks these days. What the fuck is going on? Who am I, Bernie Madoff? All I do is fucking buy shit and pay for it on time. Can we give me a break? Well, they need a second appraiser.
In case you staged your home?
Everything is about, well, if it gets into court and we find out that this guy's not a good appraiser, we need a backup appraiser.
He was in too good of a mood.
It's a second opinion for blah, 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 blah. And it's like, As I screamed at Lynette, who's paying the second guy? See, we get him, he's free? Or do I have to fucking pay for the backup guy to come fucking appraise the house that I already live in? What the fuck is going on? And then the question is, how much of our fucking life do we want to give away? Okay, second appraiser guy, you'll be there between noon and three? I'll go fucking sit there with my thumb up my ass. Jesus fucking Christ, can we get on with things? I feel like we're making it more and more difficult to do things. I'm convinced if the Golden Gate Bridge was, if they tried to build it today, it would be 10 to 15 years in the planning stage, and some version, some actress would chain herself to the bulldozer like the first day or something, and someone would be explaining how, you know, the whales that migrate through the bay are gonna sonically pull into the metallic of the thing and lose their bearings and run into the propellers of freighters and blah blah. It'd just be, nothing would ever get done. I just don't think anything would ever get done. And I know we live an extra 7 years, but it's not an extra 70 years. Where's all the bullshit coming from?
The wasting of the time is far more than the 7 years.
Yes. Do you know how much
time spent wasting for the cable guy?
Fucking time. Do you know how much fucking time I have into this fucking patent troll bullshit already? I haven't even started yet.
I've already spent too much time.
I know. I've fucking had 19 conversations with August and fucking worked on the, God damn it. It's like people could just fucking hijack your life. And they know it. They go, you don't want your life hijacked? Give us $3 million. We'll go away. You want your time back?
That's like being held hostage.
You want your life back? Pay $3 million? We'll head down the road. And by the way, so what? Now that makes it okay? You're not a victim anymore? Yeah, you got your $3 million. Yeah, everything's cool.
But is it me or is the bell especially resonant tonight?
I think
are you guys hearing
me.
That?
It's my poignancy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's my poignancy. It's freedom ringing from the mountaintop.
that's symbolism
yes.
You're hearing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Hey, Rich, line 456, New York. What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, sounds
Adam,
good. What's
Brian,
going on,
best
buddy?
Friend Allison.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hey, coming to Buffalo, you better bundle up. It's not going to go above freezing for the next foreseeable future.
Thank you for that.
Super.
You're fuck.
I at first thought I had a long shot bet. I feel better about it. I bet you can't complain about that beer-drinking gentleman, the Fox.
The great Fox, yeah.
From the Man Show.
Yeah, from the Man Show. Chug a beer standing on his head. What a fucking
hero. It was
hero.
Impressive.
It was impressive. Boy.
Allison, did you ever see the Fox?
I don't think I'm familiar with this
he
Fox
was a gentleman. Oh. As Jimmy said, he could drink a beer as fast as you could pour it on the ground.
Yes. Standing on his head.
Yes.
He was a super talent. He was. He left us way too soon. I think he. I would have to say passed in 2000, maybe 2001, but I'm going to say 2000. And Bill the Fox Foster, Jimmy found him. Jimmy used to go to his bar in Santa Monica. I can say this for Jimmy's birthday party. I'm going to say it was Jimmy's 30th birthday party. Jimmy hired out in Canoga Park. We rented out like literally the Moose Lodge. They have lodges. You pass them, you don't see them, but they're there. And he hired the Fox. But it sounds good. And then he had it catered by Arby's.
Sounds great.
It sounds fucking awesome. But everybody threw up. Because the Fox forces you to drink. He gets behind that piano, starts banging away on it, and then you have to drink with him. Also, I, from the Man Show, was mispronouncing Ziggy Zoggy the entire time.
What'd you say?
I called it Ziggy Socky.
Close enough.
That's what I thought until I finally saw it on a mug just about 6 months ago, and I was like, oh, Ziggy Zoggy? I thought it was Ziggy Socky. I was doing that toast from the stage over 100 times and completely mispronouncing it with the whole audience full of people yelling Ziggy Zaggy.
Maybe everyone else is mispronouncing
it. I'm hoping they were. If the host of the show was mispronouncing it, they probably had no choice but to mispronounce it. But it was we did have one in a world where you have to go get audience down at the bus shelter and the methadone clinic, we would have people tailgating at our shows, which is I can't think of too many shows where they actually tailgated in the audience.
College game day, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. But that's they're going
part and parcel.
Yeah, they're heading to a bigger event. This was it. The Fox was awesome, but he did force me to throw up all my Arby's over at Jimmy's 30th birthday. So for that, he shan't be missed. All right, one more quickie. Let's talk to Adam, 35, Utah. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, Mr. Carolla.
How
Thanks
are
for
you?
Having me on.
Good to see you, man.
Doing well.
What's happening?
All right. Well, I drive for a living, and one of the things that is the highlight of my day is coming home and taking a good hot shower.
Yeah.
Rich man, poor man, driving for a living.
Yeah. I have, right. Formula One versus back and forth to the airport. I am 6'2", and the shower heads in almost every house are about 4 inches too low for me. And the thing that pisses me off is I know you can buy the gooseneck where you go ahead and put it on, and maybe I'll get to that. But if you raise the average height of the shower head by 6 inches, people that were 5'7" wouldn't be bitching about it. Like, oh, man, it takes so fucking long for the water to get to my head. This sucks. I don't know what to do. Has anyone got, like, a crossword puzzle or something? Like, what would be the harm in the source of the water being either 4 inches above your head or 9 inches above your head? I don't think it would be an issue. But if you're the height of Half-Tard Gary over there and you have to do a weird squat move to get under more shower, it's distracting, and it sort of takes the whatever out of the shower. All the folks out there that lament being, you know, 5'7 or 5'8, kiss my ass the next time I fly Southwest. Like, the world was made for you. Everything is your height. And
it's all first class.
When you're Gary and you're fucking sitting on a Southwest flight, you're fucking miserable. The difference between a decent seat, I would reckon, on a Southwest flight for a guy like Gary versus Chris Maxipata over there is the difference between flying one of those little commuter prop planes and flying Southwest. Like, it's equivalent to about the same for both of them with their knee. You know, when you get into the commuter plane with the props and your knees are pressed up against and your head's kind
of... a lane of one seats and then a lane of two seats.
I flew Southwest with, not Rodman, John Sally. He's fucking 7'2".
His head poked out the top like Fred Flintstone.
He's such a happy motherfucker. He's literally 7'1", 7'2". And I was like, oh, so miserable. I'm 6'2", and I'm miserable. He's like, I'm cool. And I was like, no, you're not. This is horrible. And he's like, no, completely fine with it.
How can that be?
I don't know, but it somehow made me more miserable. So a hot shower, great. Having it shoot out just above the crack of my ass and burn the back of my balls, not good. Thank you. By the way, can we adjust this shit for now that the average male is 6 foot and not 5'6" and doesn't have scurvy? Can we start adjusting the codes? Like, just start moving shit up? We're getting bigger. People are getting heavier and taller and everything else. Like, can we start expanding things instead of shrinking them? All right, bring it home.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Well, I'll tell you what I can't complain about. Education match. Get a jump on 2014. Let's get educated. Again, people with a college degree earn, over the course of their lifetime, it'd be confusing if it was someone else's lifetime, their lifetime, $1 million over people who don't have the degrees. And again, it comes in one huge pillowcase on your 65th birthday. I could be going off script, but I just got a gut feeling about that.
Well, go with it.
Yeah, I'm going with it. Now, listen, I'm not educated, so I don't know about the big bucks that come rolling in for you highfalutin college folks. Call Education Match today, 855-507-0607. You know, our own Mike August literally dropped out for 2 years, went to Denver and went to school to get his MBA. Like, just said, at age... I don't know, 43, just said, I'm leaving.
Wow.
I'll be in Denver for 2 years. See you guys later.
Wow.
And just came back with a degree.
Thank God for us.
Yeah. But said there was somebody in his class, a woman from China, took the whole thing online.
Really?
Yep. The whole thing online.
Do
so
that.
You can do it online or you can go traditional campus programs. They're going to set you up with what works best for you. Certificates, diplomas, associates, bachelor's, master's, even doctoral degrees. Call Education Match toll-free today, 855-507-0607. Speak to a dedicated representative. Find the right option for you. Let's get educated, people. Let's get that pillowcase filled with money. 855-507-0607. Let's get out of that crappy job and get into a career, baby. All right, Bobby Brown got a book out, Dirty Rocker Boys, Love and Lust on the Sunset Strip. You know, from Cherry Pie and TV shows and all kinds of other stuff. We'll bring her on and we'll talk to her next.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, never mind pop tops, never mind twist off caps, I tell you how I used to open my dad's beer cans with a church key. Did I ever take any for me? What do you think? Listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Ah, Bobby Brown in studio. Your best from probably the Cherry Pie video, but also just wrapped season two of the Canadian reality show, Ex-Wives of Rock. Bobby is shooting something else. What are you shooting right now, Bobby?
I'm shooting something else.
Are you shooting that?
Yes. We're shooting season three.
Oh, season three.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dirty Rocker Boys, Love and Lust on the Sunset Strip. Available on Amazon. You know what to do. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Click through our website. Put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship and buy Bobby's book. Bobby, what is in this book that is... give us something juicy, something salacious, something we didn't know. Oh, no, wait a minute. Don't answer that yet. I want to go back. Where are you from? How'd you get involved? How'd you get out here? Who's
Baton
your
Rouge.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah. I was a pageant, Miss Teen USA, Miss Teen Louisiana, in the Miss USA, Teen USA pageant, and then got second runner-up. And they were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a model. And ended up moving out here. And within a week, I got my first rock video.
Which was?
Hurricane.
Rock You, like Scorpions Hurricane or another Hurricane?
No, the group Hurricane.
Uh-huh.
I'm On To You was the song.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Pull that baby up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's back when rock videos were sort of an accepted art form.
Yeah, it was.
About all we had culturally.
Yeah, it was the beginning of 1990, I think.
And so it was just, you know, same dudes who kind of looked like chicks on motorcycles out doing stuff they probably didn't do in high school.
Yeah.
And then you.
Yeah.
And then, so that was number one. What was number two, and when did Cherry Pie come around?
Let's see. I did that and a couple of other, you know, other bookings, like normal modeling jobs. And then I booked Star Search.
Mm-hmm.
And I won more times than anybody in any category of that show,
in the history of that show. Comedy?
In the history of that show.
She beat out Sinbad. Yeah. People don't know that.
What were you doing on Star Search?
Just the spokesmodel.
They had the spokesmodel category.
Yeah, which meant, can you read a teleprompter? Yeah.
But I always felt like that was the most pressure, because you'd simply walk out and you had to say, thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's the best juggling category. But if you fucked up that one little part,
then you were screwed.
You're out.
Yeah. And then he always had, you know, the Lazy Susan joke every episode. You're like, oh, God. Because, you know, the stage was revolving. So,
right.
Yeah. He had no new material. But, so I did that.
They also, in later years, I wouldn't call myself a fanatic, but I did watch
but
the show.
But you're definitely an enthusiast.
Yeah. I watched the show. They had an actor and actress category.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah.
And they'd be like two people sitting on the, you know, edge of a bed that had like a luan backdrop behind them. Yes, a cat on a hot tin roof.
It was,
but like 41 seconds of it.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
I couldn't think of a worse environment to attempt to act in, but I guess you'd have to be a total pro to pull that off in front of Ed McMahon.
Everyone who won made it big. We all know their names today.
There were a lot of famous people on that show at that time.
There were
actually
a lot of, you know what? The key is it's that sort of Beyonce thing. Be runner up.
Yeah,
don't
maybe.
Win.
For Hudson
don't
too.
Win. Always come in second place. It makes a better
but
story.
But you won a bunch?
I won 13 times and then lost the 100 grand.
I mean,
no,
always
I lost
win.
The final show.
Oh, you lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I lost.
To who?
Some girl that.
To her.
Yeah, whoever.
Uh-huh. Some slut.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Bah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 She was. She
Stop
was awesome.
Saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss What's Her Nose.
Yeah. Miss
Married
What's Her
Fuck. Yeah. What's this douche over there? Drives a truck, right? Who cares
she
about her?
She thinks her shit doesn't stink.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
apparently
it
doesn't. Yeah.
Well, look, we never heard from her again.
No.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
She didn't do videos. She went off
knows?
And did nothing.
I don't know what she did.
I want to know if anybody in the Star Search acting category, because, you know, comedians. All that there's always a bunch of comedians, you know, the Drew Careys and all people like Sinbad's and people like there's always a bunch of people you've heard of in the stand-up realm.
Even some singers, you know what I mean?
Sharon Stone actually won on Star Search, I think,
in the
acting
category.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Did she show vagina?
I don't think she showed any walnuts, no.
So I would have voted for her. I mean, that definitely would have got me off the sofa.
Swayed my vote.
Definitely would have put a vote in for her.
Not.
But you're just going to sit there while she used the term walnuts to describe a vagina? Have you heard this before?
No.
It's perfect.
Well, how do you – well, where do walnuts
I mean,
come from?
Oh, God,
like
I hate
almond,
to even say it. Perfect. Yeah, I hate to say it. We have a girl on the show who on X-Wise of Rock who does pole dancing, and she has a lot of photos where she does splits on the pole, but the photo will be like of this general area, and I'll be like, what the fuck? Are you like promoting like apple cobbler? Are you selling your walnuts? Like, what the fuck's happening? And she gets so freaked out. She'll be like, I do not have a walnut clit. Like, she freaks out on me, and it's hysterical.
Sure.
It's hysterical.
I
and so I
close
can't
my
stop.
Eyes. Sounds like my mom. It's coming from a room back in the 70s.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's delicious. I'm hungry.
If the cherry pie chick called your vagina apple cobbler, how should you take that?
Thanks, question mark.
I think I'm getting, like, I'm hungry and horny right now.
That's exactly what I was going for. Perfect. Yes.
So you are the runner-up on Star Search.
Correct.
So you, you get out of Louisiana, come out here, you start modeling, you start doing some acting, stuff like that, videos, and you're going out on auditions and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And and then that's where Janie saw me, Janie Lane from Warrant, saw me on TV.
He saw you on Star Search?
Yeah, and they called my agent and said, I want her for my next video. So, of course, I didn't go. And
you didn't go to the audition or you didn't go to the meeting?
I didn't go to the audition.
Well, it wasn't even maybe an audition. It sounded like he just wanted you to be in his video.
Yeah, but they had to act like it was an audition, of course, but I didn't go. And then they
called. Why didn't you go?
I was hungover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was hungover.
Drinking with Ed?
No, no.
No, Ed exhaled on her.
Yeah, I did not hang with Ed at all. I always had a drug problem. And so I didn't go. And then they called and said I didn't show up and asked me to go again. So I went and then I got the job.
What was the drug of choice?
I had a few. I was a coke addict and then a meth addict.
Really? Meth?
Mm-hmm.
Back then?
Maybe not that moment. It was probably coke, but it proceeded to be meth.
I don't get, to me, you know, why get, if you got the coke, because coke's nummy. I mean, I tell, especially if the
totally
young people
different.
Are listening.
I don't even know if I want to go into the details of that.
But coke is a yummy drug, but meth is, it's kind of evil. Like, I feel like if I was into coke, I'd just stay into coke.
Well, I did, but the thing is you don't lose, 10 pounds in 3 days, which is what I was liking it for.
Oh.
My agency loved that I liked it for that reason.
I feel like I could shed a few pounds on coke.
Yeah, but then as soon as it wears off, first of all, you're suicidal, and then you want to eat everything that doesn't move in front of you.
So the meth was really more
right,
the modeling.
Meth is a smoother high?
Mm-hmm. It's not, maybe not as smooth. It's a little bit more scary and a little bit aggressive and crazy, but you don't talk about bullshit all night long with people in the total darkness and make out with people you don't want to make out with, and then later you're like, what the fuck was I doing? And
I'm going to do meth.
Yeah. You lose a lot of weight. And
you got a wedding coming up.
And you can go out in the daylight. You can go do shit. You know, like a coke, you don't want to get that.
So what's bad about it?
What's bad about meth? Yeah, well, it doesn't work for everybody. You know,
I enjoy picking scabs.
It didn't work for you.
Yeah, I picked my forehead so bad once in Japan for a job. I had to cut bangs.
Really?
Like, whoa, that's really gnarly. Yeah.
So you during this period are essentially drug addict.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you didn't make the audition, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So how did it work out?
I was a drug addict, maybe in terms, but I would use it to lose weight at that point. I didn't hit the like full on daily usage every day at that point in my life, but that was a good weekend, I guess. And so then I finally showed up, I got the job, and then that's when I did the cherry pie video.
And was it one of those things where didn't seem like a big deal at the time?
I didn't know who they were. I didn't even know that they had a number one hit with Heaven. They were like, here, listen to the song. I did. I was like, whatever. And but they paid me really well. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I fought with the director the whole time. He was a total misogynist, wanted me to do way crazier shit that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting naked into a tub of whipped cream. I was like, fuck no, I'm not going to do that. So we fought a lot. And I agreed to do the hose thing, which was like a car accident in your face.
Right.
It was pretty heavy.
Where did you shoot it?
The stages on, I think Sony stages? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunset? Is that Sony?
Let's see. I'm trying to picture where those stages are.
It's like Gower. It's Gower and Sunset.
Sunset Gower.
Yeah, Sunset Gower. Yeah, we shot there for 3 days.
It was 3 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty long shoot for
it was, especially
a music
the things
video.
They wanted me to do. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
It may sound rude.
It's okay.
Why did you not want to get naked? Because I'm just thinking you're sort of unknown and a drug addict at that point.
Well, back then it was it wasn't cool to be naked, clearly. And it was the video had already caused a bunch of, oh, my God, sexist bullshit afterwards. It was very sexist for back then. For now, it's cake. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, I mean, I was already agreeing to, roller skating, pies, and all kind of other stuff. I was like, I'm not getting in the tub of whipped cream. It's just enough already.
Lena Dunham would have done it.
Maybe. And
I'm
plus they
saying.
Did like the hose scene.
Not
like,
saying she's better than
beginning.
You, but she would have done it.
Not cool.
It
was that's a lot of pressure. A real fire hose, water to your face. I was like, oh, fuck that. I'm not doing any more shit like this. So they got what they got after that, pretty much.
So with the book, people reading things that maybe you haven't talked about in public before.
Yeah.
Family members, friends, ex-lovers.
Ex-lovers.
Landlords,
that's probably
things
been
like
the
that.
Biggest issue for people not wanting to hear intimate details about themselves. Yeah.
Who are some of the – because your fabulous publisher did not send me over a copy.
That's really – I'm really sorry about that. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
That
I sucks. Just look at it as an attack.
Hey.
I've moved on.
Okay, good.
Throw out a couple names.
These are not all, you know, hookups, but they were potential hookups, but because I was a freak show, they didn't end up that way. It just turned into really funny stories. Mm-hmm. There's Kevin Costner, Rod Stewart, Janie Lane, Tommy Lee, Leonardo DiCaprio, Stephen Dorff. There's like a list of Dave Navarro.
All right, but hold on. I could throw out all those names too and go, well, some of them are hookups.
No, not all. But... Yeah, there's a couple that went to fruition, but not most not.
Well, which ones?
Mm-hmm. Tommy, my ex-husband, Leonardo. Mm-hmm. That's it out of that group I named.
Felix, like a lot of vaginal range there.
You think? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
And Tommy, yeah. I think I feel like that's range.
Wait, do
range.
You know about Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, he's packing.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying it's just range artistically.
Oh.
I'm not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pop culture
I thought you meant
landscape.
Literal.
Well, it went from range. Rock
First
stars
off, how
to,
dare you?
I'm sorry. Mind in the gutter.
Yes,
what's
please
new?
Remove
right.
it.
Yeah.
But you're saying Leo's packing?
Yeah. So,
well, that's
yeah.
nice. He can't be upset about that, right?
No, he can't. Well, you know, that you would think that thing not, but a lot of people are like, I don't want people to know my private business, but whatever.
Well, they don't – it's like people don't want pictures of them in their underpants except for when they look really good in their underpants.
Right.
Then
yeah,
they don't seem to mind
said, you know,
as much.
Sporting a helmet and that was it. I mean, but yeah. But I'm not. So it's a compliment. He should take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Helmets could barely get to your walnuts. But
exactly.
And then you could say this helmet's not a chair.
That's
exactly.
right. Grab a knee. But turns out Leonardo's doing good. Probably not in the Tommy realm.
We're not talking about performance. We're just talking about
size. Mm-hmm. Tommy Lee strikes me as one of the nicer, happier guys I've come across. Is there another side to him? Because he seems... exquisitely well, I'm sure all anybody's would have a story about everybody, but he always struck me as like just like he was always in a good mood.
He's a great friend, a great guy, like fun to be around, very hyper and excitable.
Yes.
And like a young kid, like very
right.
cool like that, but
like almost
to date,
adolescent.
No. Completely adolescent, always, and but to date him, no. Not,
but
not the most fun.
He's a rock and roll drummer. What were you looking for?
I was 24. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. So it was what it was. But yeah, when it got abusive, that's when I had to go. So
oh, really? Got abusive?
Well, yeah. He has anger, way worse anger issues than I ever could. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he was arrested and went to jail with Pam, who was after me.
Did he? I think I read here that he married Pam like 3 days after you guys broke up.
Four.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, that was pretty traumatizing. That would be the beginning of the downward spiral into the daily drug use right there.
So you wanted to stay with him?
Well, I was in love with him, definitely. But I couldn't be with him anymore because I didn't want my daughter to be – I have a daughter who, you know, to be in an abusive home, which is what I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just couldn't do that. So I left him even though I was still in love with him and he married her 4 days later.
The thing about guys like Tommy Lee, it's like I think there's different guys that are attractive for different reasons. I think men have a lot more range in this department, meaning women are attractive or they're not attractive, and usually guys just sort of go accordingly. But Tommy Lee's got that sort of broken puppy kind of thing where it's like, oh, you're going to fix him and you're going to make him better and you're going to take care of him. And he's such a perpetual sort of adolescent guy.
He's completely needing a lot of attention.
Yeah. I mean, I don't say this in a pejorative way, but he seems like a child. Like when you're around
but I mean,
him,
like,
he's like
that quality in him is like a spot, like a spotlight. Like I had never really given him a second thought. Yeah.
To his flame.
It's a turn on.
Right. I never gave him a second thought. And then he came in here.
And then you were like, oh my God, I get it.
Yeah.
Right?
But then I went home and I looked up a bunch of stuff and I thought, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Well, that's –
it's a lot of work.
You know, if you think about it in its own twisted sexual bizarre and macabre way, you see my wife around my son, my 7-year-old son, and she's like, oh, Sonny, I love this boy. You know, and then he goes,
it's just a waste of my time.
I love you, Mama. And she goes, oh, and I can see her like melting.
Yeah.
Well, if you had an adult version of that, You get the same kind of attraction. Like, women are like wired to go, I'm going to take care of you. I'm
so
going to make it better for
innocent.
You.
Yeah, but after 7 months of that all day long, every day, and you have a child of your own, you're kind of like, really?
Well, that's.
Oh my God.
How early did the abuse start?
Only when I started investigating things. You know, like, it was towards the end, but still it was a lot of work. Like, I had to give up my career. I had to give up everything about me or I wanted just to focus on him. Like, I couldn't even not look at him during a drum solo. If he caught me not looking at him or watching him the whole time and talking to someone, I knew I was in trouble. I could see the look in his eye. Like, I'd be like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. Like, he really – I wasn't allowed to go to the bathroom by myself anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he took my tampons out. I'm not even kidding. Like, it was a lot. Like,
tampons
it was too
out
much.
Of, out of cupboard?
Oh, no. Like, he wanted to do everything. It was a complete control of my life. I wasn't allowed to wear clothes in our house. Like, I had to be naked all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
Did he put them in, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was kind of annoying, and I was very independent, and I was like, oh, really, dude? Like, oh, I just want to go take a shit. Like, you know, is that okay? Like, it was... Just want to go
alone. Did he wipe
alone.
You?
No, no. I didn't
so
let him go in with
line.
Me to the bathroom. But, I mean, he would want to if I would have said okay.
Really? It was like that clingy, that needy?
So much.
Controlling,
that,
right?
So much. Yeah, so much. And it was just like at first you think it's love when you're young. You're like, he loves me. After mm-hmm. a while, you're all, fuck, dude. Really? I just want to, like, breathe for a sec. It's okay? And then he couldn't take it. He competed with my daughter, the attention for my daughter, with my daughter, which was weird.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Where now, how old was your daughter?
2.
Where did she come from?
Janie.
Oh, from Cherry
Pie. My ex-husband, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you had to figure if Janie said, I want that girl who's standing, no, not Ed McMahon, you idiot, the girl to do my video, he probably just was in love with you. Simply from watching you on Star Search, right?
Yeah. I was with dating someone else at the time when we did the video, and I wasn't interested. And he kept calling and showing up at my place. And I was like, I have your number. I'll use it if I want to. He was like, oh, broken. Like, oh, my God. Devastated. And then he went on Howard Stern and said he was going to marry me one day. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I thought it was a joke. But
right.
He was serious, I guess, and pursued me fervently. And, you mm-hmm. know, eventually it was very admirable. And he won my heart, you know. But
and what about the dude you were with from the band Minced Meat Pie?
It was Matthew Nelson, yeah.
Oh, Nelson?
Yeah.
Nelson, like Gunnar Nelson and Matthew Nelson
yeah.
and of Nelson of Nelson?
Yes. Yes, it was.
You're talking about Nelson of Nelson
talking
fame?
About Nelson of Nelson, yes, with the Nelson family and Ozzie and Harriet. Yes.
Not half Nelson, full
no,
Nelson.
The full Nelson, the reach around the whole
the whole
the
Nelson.
Whole 9 yards, yeah.
Trying
whole...
to think which Nelson is Matthew, but does it
He's
matter?
He's the nice one. He's the nicer one.
Oh, Gunner?
The pretty one.
No, the less aggressive one.
No,
yes,
with the long hair.
Gunner's the one with the blonde.
The long blonde hair.
You know, that one.
Well,
that
wait
one.
A minute. First off, you name your kid Gunner. You got to expect a certain amount of attitude.
Right, yeah.
But all right, so he was. So you were with Nelson of Nelson.
Matthew of Nelson, yeah.
Matthew of Nelson.
Yeah.
Of Nelson and Company.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, that's a lot of rock and roll.
Hey, they sought me out. I wasn't seeking rockers. It was just the way we kind of all blended.
No,
at that
no,
time.
I,
yeah.
I know they just saw you somewhere and went like,
yeah.
And they had enough juice back at the time to go.
Do you want to call it juice? I don't know. Like, I don't know what it was.
Money, yeah. Fame, whatever. You knew who they were.
I didn't actually. When I would meet them, I didn't. But then they were, you know. Pursuing.
But why would you meet them if you didn't know who they were?
Well, I met Matthew on the set of Star Search because the wardrobe person did their wardrobe, and she went, "I'm going to introduce you to this guy I work for. He's in a band, blah blah blah."
You guys
I
have
do
the
their
same
wardrobe.
Hair.
We totally had the same hair. My mother took pictures of us from behind, same length, same style, everything. It's kind of creepy, and so she brought them both to the show,
mm-hmm.
and Gunnar was kind of an aggressive. Dick and Matthew was nice, and I'd just broken up with a dick, so I was like, I'm gonna go with the nice guy,
right?
So, we started dating, yeah.
Now, how old were you then?
20.
And at that point, you're with Nelson, mm-hmm. I mean, Matthew, and
Gunnar hated it and sabotaged it and tried
why,
to.
And why did he
like
hate
evil
it?
Twin.
He didn't, like, not enough room for your
things.
Hair. And...
I was like Yoko Ono to him, he was like, she has too much say so to you. Like, he didn't like me around.
What do they think? What do they think they were doing, though? Breaking up the Beatles? Like,
you know, I don't know. I don't even know. It was, you know, after the rain. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Wah, wah.
I have a by the way, Ricky Nelson's cousin or something, family member, was one of my gym coaches over at Walter Reed Elementary. Looked exactly like Ricky Nelson and was the only nice guy.
They're generally nice.
In the entire
nice.
Group out of all the Mr. Walters and the Mr. Sapanzis and the Mr. Whatevers. Now someone has to find a Walter Reed Elementary yearbook from like 1978, and you'll find a he's a Nelson. I don't know if it was Ricky Nelson's like first cousin or whatever the hell it was, but that was my connection with the Nelson. So we were pretty tight as well.
Yeah. So we're connected somehow.
Yeah, I had him for a half a semester. Then I got thrown in the donkey squad by Mr. Walters.
The donkey squad. That's awful.
I know.
That's awesome.
I remember my dad. The only time I've ever really seen my dad disappointed is he was like, I understand you can't read or write. You're a horrible student, but you're good at sports. Why are you getting a D in phys ed? Like, that was the only time I've really seen him sort of confused,
was
a little amused.
The dressing
amused.
Out
like,
thing? You didn't want to dress out? Is that the thing?
When I came out in my blue jeans and Mr. Walters said, go back inside and put on some gym shorts.
Yeah.
I came running back out with the gym shorts pulled over my blue jeans, and he was like, into the corral, donkey.
That was the reason why I didn't do well in phys ed.
Heading to the donkey squad, boy. Sit with the other donkeys.
That's awesome.
And thus the minus points. It used to be Walter's whole thing was like, that's 6 minus points, donkey. And you'd be like, but Mr. Walter, I got my shorts on. That's 8. And you go, well, you told me to put shorts. That's 10 and back
talking
to the corral.
Yeah.
You just keep going. It was a simpler time when they could actually take kids.
And call them donkeys.
Call them donkeys and put them in the corral.
Yeah. We had slave day at my school.
Slave day?
Yeah. Wow.
I went to a private school in the South. That was kind of
great. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so
what happened on
did you get to be an owner or what would you get to be?
I was an owner, yeah, but you had your slave. And when I told friends that, they were like, are you fucking kidding me? What?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but that was normal.
Principal Dean, Principal.
Yeah.
Principal Paula Dean was oversighting.
Did you at least get to sing songs?
Going to Alabama.
I mean, if there's a silver lining.
How did, so in slave day, now, were people going in black? I want to know. Were people going in blackface?
We didn't. No, but there was no black children at our school.
So how'd you get? Who was the?
I don't even remember that.
Slaves?
I just remember that was a big
straws
deal
or something.
It was a big deal. I don't even remember. It's for history class. It was like, it was dumb. But anyway.
All right. So where the hell were we? How's the feedback from the book? You getting a lot of crap from a lot of the actors?
Actually, you know what? No, nobody, nothing, not a word. I mean, honestly, if you tell the truth, like, what can you really say? They're not happy about it, I'm sure. Nobody said anything negative. Nobody's fought back or, you know, defied it or anything. But I have, of course, a couple of haters on it. I mean, overall,
it's
doing
well. Are there deniers or is anyone?
No deniers. Just I think people that originally hated me from the gate read it and hated me more. Like, I hate her more, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's not a lot of that. But it's doing really well, actually.
And how are you doing now with your love life? Settled down? One man?
I'm really open to meeting somebody right now. Like, I haven't, you know, I was in a toxic relationship for a while. I've been single for a minute. And I'm really looking to have a relationship right now.
Can you have a relationship with a normal guy?
Absolutely. If you're nice to me, I will totally love you. As long as you're not a dick, I'm fine.
Dude.
Trust and know. Trust and know. Watch.
Really?
Yes.
Now you can't. 15 years ago, 15, fucking no
way. I
think
a young girl thinks, like, if a guy treats her like shit, they're in love. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but it's dumb. And they learn the hard way like I did. But, I mean, I will cherish anybody who's nice to me.
I mean, let's
I've been told I have boyish good looks and like to have a good time.
Well, let's just say you found a guy.
Okay.
Regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
Civilian.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I will be happy with that.
You're happy?
I'm full of spunk.
Ew.
Just a regular dude.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not looking for a musician, that's for sure. But if, you know, if that's what happens, then great. But I just want somebody that's nice to me. And
all
to
right.
Me.
But that's good for 6 to 8 months. And now you got the guy, and he's a UPS driver. And he's a sweet guy.
Okay.
And he's making 67 grand
a
year.
I'm not shallow. I'm not shallow.
You say that.
I'm telling you, I'm not. I'm really not. And I was with such assholes for so long that if they're nice to me, that's all I'll care about.
Well,
or good to me, you know?
You figure because you were abused in the past, you sought out those guys. And not
maybe
sought
not
out.
Directly,
but
yeah.
Somehow,
subconsciously, maybe.
Like a salmon knowing where to spawn.
A salmon, that's another story. Okay.
Huh?
Nothing.
What happened with the salmon?
The girl I say has a walnut clit. I always tell her that her pussy smells like salmon. When she's sitting, she'll be like, what the fuck? And I'm like, it's just a joke that I fuck with her with.
Jesus Christ.
I know, it's horrible. I'll be like, I will not tolerate you sitting next to me. She'll be like, argh! She cries. It's awesome. Oh, and it's kind of a higher end fish to go with. If you think about it.
It's still kind of a compliment.
Right.
Yeah, it's
usually
true.
You just say fish.
I mean, there's
catfish.
Cod.
Right. Get the fuck out of
it. Oh, is that Chilean sea bass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wouldn't be bad.
It's kind of nice and flaky, airy, that fish.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, white fish.
Tilapia.
Tilapia
is the bottom feeder.
They eat
everyone else's poop at the bottom of the sea. Yeah, that's catfish.
Okay. But salmon, not bad, especially like a smoked lox.
Yeah, good Scottish salmon, farm-raised. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bobby, we're going to do a little news.
Okay.
You hang out.
Okay.
Crack-wise. Enjoy your mangria, by the way.
It's delicious. Thank you. I think I'm tipsy even.
Maybe just a little. Yeah, what do you got to do? Fly an airplane tonight?
How did you know?
No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No. Where do you – wait a minute. Where do you live?
Studio City.
Oh, you're out here.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
So wait, what are you doing? Do you shoot the show in Canada?
No, we shoot here.
You shoot here, but the show airs in Canada.
It airs in the States as well on
the
Fuse Network.
I don't know why it says Canadian reality show.
Well, because we are owned by Canada. They purchased our show first. So basically we are their show, and then the States bought the show and airs it here as well. But originally we are aired and owned by Canada.
Understood.
Yeah.
All right. Let me give a little love to one of our fine sponsors, okay. Trunk Club. Guys, you can it's kind of interesting. What they do is they give you really cool clothes, and you don't have to go shopping. And whatever they send you, you keep what you like. And if you don't like something, you send it back. And they have a dedicated personal stylist. And they hand select all these items. They send them over in a trunk according to your needs, your tastes, and all that. And I think we have the Porcelain Punisher, Matt Fondelier. Going to get you buffed out for Valentine's Day. But you went through this, right?
Yeah. I've used Trunk Club before, and it was so awesome that I'm definitely going to use it again for Valentine's Day. But as you discussed, they send you a trunk full of clothes, try everything on, and send back what you don't like.
But it's not just a random trunk. Like, you let them know what you're into.
Yeah, you know, before they send it out, you talk with a stylist, and, you know, you tell them the kind of things you like and don't like, and then that personal stylist sets you up with clothes they know you're going to love.
Yep, and no upfront commitments, no shipping costs, nothing. They just take care of you. No monthly subscription. It's none of that. Just tell them what you like. They'll send you some options. You try them on. You keep what you like. What you don't like, you send back. Visit trunkclub.com/ace to learn more. It's fun. trunkclub.com/ace. All right, Allison, let's do some news.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison, Allison.
So Quentin Tarantino wrote a script for another Western after writing Django Unchained. He said that that inspired him to want to do another Western. Mm-hmm. It's called The Hateful Eight. And he gave it to six people. Only six people had the script, but somehow it leaked. Mm-hmm. And now he's so pissed that he's saying that he's not going to do the movie at all. He just wants to do it as a book. And he feels super betrayed.
But he doesn't know.
He doesn't know who, but he has some ideas. So
he should have given it to eight people. It's so much more
right?
ironic.
I
know. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, because I'm a cynic, a tiny part of me is like, is this, how much could this just be promotion for I don't know what? Except now he's saying he's not going to make it. But here are the people he gave it to: Michael Madsen, Bruce Dern, Tim Roth. And then he gave it to, let's see, he gave it to a producer. He doesn't mention all the people that he gave it to, but those are some of the
people. I don't trust that fucking Dern as far as I can throw him.
I know.
You know my feelings about him.
I do. You've made them clear. But he said, okay.
Bob, you ever sleep with Bruce Dern?
I don't even know who that is.
Yes or no?
Gwynny's dad.
Answer the question.
No.
Put up a picture.
N-O.
He's kind of the third Nelson.
Perfect. No. Definitely not. No.
Okay.
No.
So Quentin Tarantino said he knows that it's not Tim Roth. He said, he's the one I know didn't do this.
Mm-hmm. So now we're down to five.
Yeah, and then there were five. He gave the script to one of the producers of Django Unchained, Reggie Hudlin, and he said he knows that he let Hudlin let an agent read it, but he doesn't think
like
it was him.
I don't feel like there's enough guys named Reggie anymore.
You're right.
We're fucking running low
down
on Reggies.
Yeah.
We're going to be out by the time my kids are adults. They're not going to have any Reggie friends.
That's what I'm saying. Reggie, Carol, Linda,
there's
going to
be
Barbara.
A couple of, like, fat, white Reginalds from, like, England who hang out with guys named Alistair, but that's not a Reggie.
Reggie's due for a comeback, but a forced comeback.
Poised.
You could have another one.
For return.
Another kid named Reggie.
I could shit out a Reggie.
Good. You could do a shit. You could shit a Reggie.
Would you want
to,
though?
We could work on that.
Hey, I don't know how your wife would feel about that.
Well, I think she'd understand it was business.
Just for business, honey. It's okay.
Well, again, we're running.
And another Reggie, of course.
Well,
Reggie's facing extinction.
Yeah. I don't know any Reggies. There's a Reggie Bush in the NFL, but there's not a. There used to be, you know, every third brother in the NBA was named Reggie. There's no more Reggie Jackson. I grew up with a lot of good Reggies.
Yeah. Where have you gone, Reggie?
Where'd they go?
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah. We need to bring them back.
Yeah, Kim K could probably find a couple.
Hmm?
Kim K could probably find
a couple.
She
got the walnut vagina?
Apparently. Apparently she does. I don't know. I don't know. But apparently.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
Anyway,
I like Django. I like Tarantino. I find his movies incredibly interesting. And out of just about everyone who's working today, his movies are like, I don't think you couldn't, you'd have to call them all flawed in a good way. Mm-hmm. And definitely, if you said to me, somebody's coming out with a movie this weekend, I would hope that it was Tarantino if I was going to see a movie this weekend.
And it feels like he's one of the few that's making Quentin Tarantino movies, capital Q, capital T. Like, everyone else is, like, you know, American Hustle seems a little like Scorsese. But you know what I mean? People making movies
right.
that look like other people. They all look like Batman. All superhero movies look the same.
No, I completely
look like Quentin Tarantino movies.
And they sound like them. And, you know, Christoph, he finds the Christoph Waltz and guys like that. And they're just amazing. And I would look forward to this. So I would hope it would come out.
Well, he thinks that one of the actors let their agent read the script and that that person shared it with, quote, everyone in Hollywood.
Probably.
So he's pointing his finger at Michael Madsen and Bruce Dern.
But he is going nuts, right? Like Tarantino.
Well, I mean,
he is nuts, but he's going to go more nuts and super narcissistic nuts, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. So that's what's going to happen. Well, who the fuck cares? I mean, what?
I know.
What?
That's what makes me wonder, could this be...
Is it a joke? Yeah.
You know, a stunt.
Well,
not a stunt, but I mean, is he benefiting from this?
The more insulated and narcissistic you get, the more you say things that sound like stunts because sane people wouldn't really say them. But in your insane brain, it's not a stunt. But I get screeners every year, and I get all the cool movies, and half of them come with the script. And it's not like I get the screener of Nebraska and then the script of Nebraska and go, oh, yeah. And I throw the screener away and go, fuck, yeah.
Or you follow along
script.
With the scripts.
Yeah.
Flip it.
Yeah. Like a Duquesne projector. Like,
ding,
go
turn
ding.
Page.
And I turn the page over.
Exactly.
Right.
This is exterior day.
All the fucking scripts go right into the recycling bucket. Like, I don't give a fuck. So who cares?
You don't read, though.
I don't read. I can't read. That's true. But even if I could... I don't feel like this would be a big deal. Like, why does it, I mean,
maybe there's the idea that there's a twist probably in it or
something.
I don't know.
But is it going to stop us from seeing it? And if it was a piece of technology, I kind of understand, but this is just a script. And how many movies have been made from novels?
Lots.
A lot.
Lots. All right. So people read them 30 years in advance, and then they made a movie that always disappoints people, but everyone had a chance to almost read the script in the novel form.
So a California court upheld a mother's right to spank her daughter with a wooden spoon. The mother was reported for child abuse after she spanked her daughter with a wooden spoon, causing bruises. The Santa Clara Department of Social Services submitted the incident for inclusion in the State Justice Department's Child Abuse Central Index. Mm. So she could have lost custody. The daughter could have been put into foster care.
When you spank with a wooden spoon, do you go convex or concave?
I would say the bubble side out, so con.
Vex?
Well, it depends how you look at it, but I would hit with the bubble side.
Bubble side.
Not the scooping side.
Scoop side out?
Scoop side out.
I think that if you're being hit with an object or get bruises is abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I meant sexually.
That's
well, obviously, obviously, metal spoons.
That's
off.
My take on that.
Things of rubber.
Yeah,
flip flops. Then probably off the list. Wooden spoon feels.
Yeah, metal spoons were aerodynamic, so you're gonna get more velocity. So wooden spoon, you know, with the small imperfections in the wood grain, it slows down.
Yeah,
not as slotted. Not slotted.
What about splinters? Mm-hmm. That's always an issue. Ooh. Yeah.
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 Plus, then the poor person the next day that's taking and tasting the soup has to go. It tastes like adolescent ass.
That's horrible.
And tears.
This lentil bean smells like an 8-year-old's
lentil
asshole.
Lentil bean ass. That's not good.
I shouldn't do that huge inhale when I do. You know that thing you do? It's weird. Cooling, you got two modes for cooling. You got super exhale cool and super inhale.
Yeah.
There's weird. Which is it? Why is it? You'd think if exhaling was the most effective cooling, then inhale would be the worst. But you do the big inhale.
You think inhaling would heat it up.
Yeah.
I think it's just drawing air over it.
Uh-huh.
That's
try to get
I think.
Your lips all out there.
But they quiver like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. All right.
So at trial, the mother, the abusive mother, in our opinion, said that no consideration was given to her parental right to impose reasonable discipline. Her child was slacking off in school. The thing is, the kid was 12.
How old is this child? Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's okay, but at 12, a kid can understand words.
Well, there isn't ever, because even Dr. Drew doesn't think it's okay ever.
To hit.
But he always says, if your child does something that's dangerous to themselves, like goes running out in the street, just like the ball goes out in the street and your child's just running after it, then that's okay because that's a behavior that's, potentially life-threatening, which is interesting. But I always kind of go, I was never hit. I wouldn't hit my kids.
I
don't think I could hit kids. I don't know how. It feels weird to me, and it's a weird message and so on and so forth. So I'm not into it. But if you're going to sort of make the argument of, well, it's okay under these circumstances, like when they're doing something that you really don't want them to do.
I think he's giving the parents a pass on that one, maybe.
Well, yeah, because now it's like I really want them to learn the viola. So I got to hit him.
It sounds like a fear thing. Like if you do something that could potentially kill yourself or hurt yourself, then maybe you need to scare the crap out of
but
them.
But I do think there's a difference between you're a parent, your child just did something where you thought they were about to, die.
And that's scary,
and then you lost control and you swatted them.
Yeah.
I had my nanny.
Versus the premeditated, your punishment is to be
I used to have to pick off the switches off the tree, pick my own belts. Like, I have to
you really did grow up in the South.
This is why we need Reggie's to tell these stories. These stories are never going to carry on.
Yeah.
This is not.
And I never physically,
guys
you know, did with my
Dylan and Dakota aren't going to come up with stories like
this.
That's
horrible. Brendan and Brandon. No, no.
Yeah, but Brendan goes, I used to have to go get my own switch off a tree and Reggie laughed out of the cafeteria.
Brent wouldn't even say that.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Or Brant.
Yeah. No, my nanny swatted my daughter.
Whoa, that's hardcore. I'd go crazy.
Now I didn't give a shit.
You didn't? Oh
my God. No, because my nanny.
He's hands off. Always.
So you're the good guy.
She's Guatemalan. She comes from a little different place.
Yeah.
And my daughter spit in her face.
Oh well.
And I said, "Hey, man." Spin her face, whack her one.
Yeah.
I don't mean fucking punch her in the face.
Yeah,
but I mean,
like,
fucking whack her.
Yeah.
And guess who doesn't spit in her face anymore?
Your daughter.
I mean, and I'm fine with it. Like, I don't, but also, I don't want to get so caught up in the everything's going to make or break everyone all the time. Yeah. If I don't hit my kids. Yeah. I was never hit.
Yeah.
I know plenty of kids who were spanked or paddled or whatever. School teachers, if you go back long enough, did the ruler on the fingers or what have you. Everyone's fine. So there's a point when it turns into abuse.
I think whack is one thing, but bruising and such is abuse. It's more.
Well, I think the point is when it crosses into that area, then it becomes something different
more,
than what it is intended for.
Right.
And my nanny swatting my daughter who spit in her face, zero fucking problem with.
Right.
And
but if she would have beaten her repeatedly with a spoon, I think you might have been pissed.
If it was one of my spoons, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One of my good, your mangria stirring spoon.
Yeah, it was one of the ones I used to make up
or
the batch
soup
of mangria.
Spoon, the lentil soup spoon would have been a big deal.
Yeah.
Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with me.
Yeah, well, I find all corporal punishment disturbing. But you know, I think why I do from that song, Luca.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that song? I feel like
yeah,
that is really deeply instilled.
Oh yeah.
Instilled
Bobby did the video.
Discomfort with child abuse.
No.
It's totally hot.
No.
Director's cut.
Wearing those Daisy Dukes.
In the Luca video. Wow.
Grinding on that switch.
On her thigh. Yeah.
Yeah. Making all that noise upstairs.
That would have been really bad. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is this. I don't touch anybody. I've never swatted anybody. I'm the guy who's been hit by other people's parents more than my own parents. I don't know anyone else who can say that.
What does that say? Really?
It says I needed to show some manners in the back of these Volvo station wagons that's being transported in. But I was hit by two different parents. And I felt like I had I got whacked, and it was like, I'm not scarred for life.
You're
I knew
okay.
it was coming. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's a great thing, and it crosses the line. But I also don't think we should get superstitious about it, like we spoke about earlier. Like, I don't like my kids eating junk.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to eat a cookie, I wouldn't slap it out of their hand and freak on them.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill them. Everyone's been through it. Be responsible about it and move on.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of junk, breaking news. Turns out, Fruit Loops, each loop is the same flavor, despite their different colors.
Oh, man, you're blowing my mind.
They're all the same flavor.
Wow.
Fuck.
And that flavor is fruit, F-R-O-O-T, which is a blend of fruit flavors.
Hold on. Hey, get August to change my rider. Fuck it. I just went with the yellow ones, and now it's all blown up in my face. Just change your riders. Have them all mixed in there.
Do you feel cheated?
Raped.
Oh, wow.
Not cheated. It's rape.
It's a violation.
What are you going to tell me? Mike and Ike's and Jelly Bellies are all the same fucking flavor now, too?
No, those are different. But
keep the rider the same in the Mike and Ike's and the Jelly Bellies, then. But Fruit Loops, forget about picking
Tricks
out the yellow ones.
And Fruity Pebbles, I think, might all be the same flavor.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Who eats Fruity Pebbles?
This is like the day that you find out Santa Claus is fake, and you're like, wait, the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy, too?
Yeah.
The whole world's crashing.
I think
around.
Once
taking others down,
everything just turns into a bowl of super sweet milk that has a little wisp of strawberry in it, and that's what kids like. I think that's it. When it all after 5 minutes in the bowl, it just turns into sugary, milky, with a slight like sort of rougey color, and just a wisp of strawberry.
If it changes color, I think they're fascinated usually.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's like a tiny little, there's little red dots floating in there that came off the Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
What are those?
I don't
know. It's like Apple Jack eczema.
Apple pieces.
Yeah. What is
eczema?
The,
gross.
You know what? I'm going to shock a lot of people.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to say the best sugary cereal.
We've all been waiting for this moment.
In terms of just sitting down.
They said he wouldn't say it.
Ripping a bong load and just pouring, getting out the jug of milk. And that move where you keep the milk out. Like, fuck it.
Because you're going to keep topping off.
I'm going to keep topping off. And I'll keep the cereal box out, too. And I'll just keep working it until I get it. Frosted-coated mini wheats.
Those are good. I like the Reese's, too, though.
Wow, that's your favorite sugary cereal?
You know why? Because it's got a little backbone to it. The
Wait,
other
just
stuff
for the dual personality. That's
yeah.
the cereal.
The other stuff I run out of pretty quick. Like it's good for the first five bites, but like Captain Crunch eventually is just like one big sugar load shot in your mouth. I hate to get graphic,
Yum.
But I mean, but you know what I'm saying. This always breaks it up just a little bit, like those. Everything cookies your wife made the other week, put the big nuggets of sea salt in there. Yes. There's just enough of that.
Dunking on top.
In the
I think
mini
there were
wheats,
walnuts in those.
The frosted.
Okay, then that's important.
Yeah, there's salmon and walnuts in everything
that
in those
disturbing.
Fucking things.
God.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Mm-hmm. You have another friend called Taco Salad?
I do.
Oh, no.
I do. Do you want hot sauce with that?
Oh,
okay.
God. All right. Let's do one more, baby girl.
Mm-hmm. Story here. It says marijuana poisoning in pets is on the rise.
So oh,
calls
yeah.
reporting pet poisonings by marijuana have increased by about 30% since 2009. And I actually have a personal story about this. So over the break, my dog started throwing up, and then he fell to the side, and then he was like shaking. So we took him to the vet. He threw up in the car on the way, and I thought he was going to die in the car. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea. We took him in. They did an exam, which took forever, by the way. And anyway, it was hard for me. I just kept thinking, what's taking so long? I was like, sure. It was like I was like someone in a TV movie. But anyway, they came in and they said that they were wondering if he could be a pot dog. Mm. So he was acting like a dog that had ingested pot. Mm-hmm. And then I had to say, well, that there's no way that's in our house, thinking, but I'm glad you think I'm cool enough that I might have pot in my house.
Right.
But they wondered if he could have eaten it on the walk. It was the day after New Year's Eve, so January 1st. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, they think he ingested something on the walk. Well, it could have been pot.
Does anyone smoke cigarettes in your house?
No, but we had just taken him on a walk, and I think he did eat something. So it could have been a cigarette. It could have been antifreeze.
Because nicotine will do the same reaction.
I think that's probably what it was.
I don't know why antifreeze is called antifreeze. Because it should be called antifreeze.
It should be.
But it's antifreeze.
That was random.
I don't know
why.
That
was a really nice way of letting me know I said it wrong.
Yeah, no, it should be called antifreeze.
Yeah.
It's just called
antifreeze. Antifreeze.
Antifreeze. There's
it should be antipasta.
Yeah. Why is the antidote called the antidote?
I don't know. I've got to look into this. But the antidote for eating pot. Now, I don't think a dog would just eat buds, but they're putting it in brownies and everything now. And they're putting it in like peanut butter shit. And dogs would definitely eat the stuff that they're putting all the THC in. If they had like a peanut butter brownie, the dog would eat that.
He also eats gum all the time.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually swallows it, but we're always fishing out of his mouth. And I think it could have been nicotine gum.
Yeah, my dog used to eat the crotch of my underwear, so they'll eat anything. And the cat dried up fossil turds from next door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Bring them in for toys. It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll pretty much eat whatever.
But so everybody's got the weed in their house. They're they're getting stoned.
Yeah, edibles
they're leaving
are a
it
big
around,
problem. Or drinking bong water.
And they're eating all that. But remember when getting your dog stoned was cool?
Blow the smoke in its face.
You don't remember that?
Works with
oh,
cats.
You like dogs too much. Come on.
I do. My dog OD'd on G. My roommate was selling G, and I didn't know it, and I poured it as water.
Hold on. What's G?
GHB.
Oh.
So I
do we have to abbreviate three letters?
Traumatizing? Yeah, I guess not.
Is that enough?
GHB.
your dog actually died that way?
No. But
do you call AAA A?
Sometimes. Yeah.
People know what you're talking
about.
Would
you call AA?
Yeah. No, that happened. It was traumatizing.
My roommate selling G works for A?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so,
it was bad.
So, you love pets.
Yeah. She's my first pet, actually. So
still around?
Yeah, she's still here. She made it after IVs and 24 hours in the... It was a nightmare, yeah.
Mm. Mm. And what kind of pup, sorry?
She's a deer chihuahua.
Huh?
A chihuahua that looked like baby deer.
I mean,
so,
I don't know.
She's so cute. She's not sketchy and freaky like normal chihuahuas, yeah.
Doesn't bite people?
No, not at all. She's super lover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to somebody the day before. They got the little chihuahua guy I work with, and his wife was giving me, it's just bit the camera guy. Like, sometimes they don't bite, and sometimes they bite. And I'm always like, maybe you should leave him at home.
Sometimes they bite, sometimes they don't bite. What?
Well, it was this
what
weird,
is that?
It was a weird thing where he said, like, it's a weird, she said, it's weird because, like, 10 people in a row come up with their hands and pat me, no problem. Then the 11th person, they nip at him.
She doesn't like that. Dog didn't like that person.
It reminds me when I used to, like, install closets in people's houses and, you know, I'd ring the doorbell and the dog would go nuts. And the dog would go nuts and then the person would open the door and the screen and the dog would be, like, clawing at it and it'd be like, she's very protective, but once she gets to know you, she should be fine, but just hold your hand down. And I'm like, bitch, I'm putting a closet in your house. I'm not fucking – what am I, holding Samsonite going, well – this is a big move for me, but emotionally, I'm in your fucking master bedroom for 2 hours and I'm fucking going. How about you put the fucking thing in the pantry and shut the fucking door? How important is it to you that we bond with the potential of the dog eating my hand? Why not just fucking throw him in another room and shut the door?
People seem very unaware of how aggressive their dogs might actually be.
And it's important... On a weird psychological note, it's important that you break bread with the dog. Like,
I
you
do that
two got to get along.
I do that
And
too.
It's like, I'm going to put this fucking closet in your house, and then you'll never see me again. So are you and the dog going to have long conversations? Oh, whimsical conversations. Remember that guy's name I can't recall with the fucking Jufro came back? What was that, the summer of 88 he came back with that closet?
No, it was 89. We had just moved out of the old house.
Yeah. He had a way about him, didn't he? Thank God I was able to sniff his shin and not stay in the pantry. Really got something out of that exchange.
Yeah, worked out for both parties, really.
Yeah. I'm going to miss that stranger.
Maybe someday I'll come. I'm planning on him coming back someday.
Hold on. I think I just heard the doorbell. I'm going to go freak out by the front door. You tell the UPS guy why I have to stand here. Okay? Good. It's a deal. Yeah, what is that? Just put the fucking dog away for that period of time. All right, anyway, I love the pets. Where were we? Let's bring it home.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
Really, dude? Like, oh, I just want to go take a shit.
Ah, that's awesome.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
That's great.
Legal Zoom, baby. You got to get your life organized. You got to get your business organized. And the two best ways to do that is under one roof. That's LegalZoom.com. Get organized. Your last will, testament, living trust. Protect your assets, your family. Who's going to take care of that mutt when you're gone? LegalZoom. That's who's going to take care of it. Starting a business, LegalZoom can help you launch your dreams, save a ton of money, and help you get started. By the way, they've helped over 1 million businesses get started. They've earned an A+ from the Better Business Bureau. LegalZoom's step-by-step process was created by a team of experts in law and technology that can help you. They're LegalZoom, Dawson.
LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with a third-party attorney and provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. Please don't let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and business. From wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy help, go to LegalZoom.com.
All right. Bobby Brown, the book, Dirty Rocker Boys, out as we speak, available on Amazon. You know what to do. Click through and get her book. Pre-order my book. Pre-order Bald Brian's book. It's all out there on Amazon. And click through our banner and hell, give it a bookmark. What do you say? You can hit Bobby's Twitter at Bobby Jean Brown. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Bobby Brown.
Thank
Allison
you.
Allison Rosen, thank you. Thank and Bald you. Brian, say it. Mahalo.
I do not have a walnut clip.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Black Case on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Podcast coming up in Buffalo, February 1st. Tickets still available. Treasure Island in Las Vegas, February 21st. Tickets also available. And Adam's solo stand-up show in Detroit at the Motor City Casino on January 30th. Still a few tickets left. Go to adamcarolla.com.